What is up, crew? Happy Monday to everybody out there. Hopefully you made it through the weekend okay. Hopefully your Monday was okay. Time for a little MOA Monday now. We are live here on the YouTubes and simulcast over on Gun Channels. Yes, I've said it before, but I'll drop that link over on the YouTube side. There we go. As notifications go out on the YouTube side, all that good stuff. And say, if you're not a member over at Gun Channels, go check it out. Pretty good place to hang around over there. Lots of good stuff. So we're a little bit early today, but that's okay. We're a couple of minutes early, I think. Been doing that lately here on Monday. Who do we got on the Gun Channel side? Looks like Mr. Pfeiffer over there, Dog Body in the house over there as well. Dog Body's been doing a lot of stuff, by the way. So definitely go check out some of his stuff. And Mr. Gizzard in the house. Mr. Gizzard Gary over on Gun Channels. DT Fiber says Arkansas is working Saturdays is a pain. Interesting. Dog Body says Monday, but it feels like a Wednesday. Nah, it doesn't to me. It feels like a Monday to me. It would be nice, I guess, if it felt like a Wednesday, right? It would be halfway toward the weekend, which is awesome. YouTube side. Let's run through over here, see what's going on real quick. According to my chat, Grim was first. What's up, Mr. Grim? Gizzard over there, Tactical Pickle, Scalabaris, Rich White, Mohawk Boy, Rock On, Mr. Rozzy, Mr. Ozzy Osbourne, Meredith, Mr. Mayhem is out there, Trauma Jock in the house, Thermal Redneck, Caleb's out there, Scott's out there. Sweet, several other, and so, yeah, you jump in. Hey, there's that guy's wife. Hello, dear. So, yeah, if you are, Double T, there's Jen. A few more starting to come in. Yeah, as you come in, I'll do my best to get caught up. If you're familiar with MOA Monday, we get behind pretty regular, so be prepared for that. If you've got your questions, if you got other things out there. Usually we get caught up by the end of the show, which is awesome. But we do get behind. It happens. There's one of me and many of y'all. So that's the way it goes. Well, yeah, we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. Questions, topics, whatever it might be. Throw them out there, either side, Gun Channels or the YouTube side. And, we'll talk about them. What is Calaveras is saying? He's trying to help. Oh, trying to help get the blind challenge, hashtag blind challenge going. But he just dropped in. He said Hank may announce it for Patriot. That'd be awesome. I could send him an email, I guess. I guess I could do that. But yeah, if you haven't done that already, Patriot in the Dark out there is doing a hashtag blind challenge where you basically field strip and reassemble your firearm blindfolded. And the exercise there is to explain what you're doing in very great detail for those that may not be sighted, right? So yeah, I can potentially do that. I've got mine. I had one partially filmed, and then Gizzard kind of corked me on it because I was doing the Glock 42, and then I get a notification, and it's like, Gizzard Gary, blind challenge, Glock 42. I'm like, okay, crap, this sucks. Now I got to go back to the drawing board and find something else to do my blind challenge with. It is what it is, I guess. Guitar Man Pete, I see you jump in over on the Gun Channel side. What's up, Mr. Pete? unknown user out there. I didn't shout him out earlier, but he's made it into Kingpin in the house now. He says 60 round Surefire magazines, any good, any reliable. I've played with them. I don't particularly like them. I don't like the weight that's in them. There never was any problem with them when I played with them out on the range. I don't own any. I'm a big fan of a 20 round magazine, though. Call me weird, but I just, the added length on the, even on the 30 round magazines, it's just, it's really weird. It's really weird if you're in prone or you're trying to rest up or do something like that. So, you know, I guess it depends on the situation. I'm certainly not going to argue with a, you know, with a veteran, somebody that's, you know, had to use, you know, larger capacity magazines and things like that in combat or any situation like that. I'm not about to argue with somebody like that. But my personal preference is, yeah, anything over a 20, it just kind of gets in the way as opposed to help you out in any way, especially if you're target shooting, plinking around, having fun, that sort of thing. Guitar Man Pete over on the YouTube's side, he says all the cool kids are on the Gun Channel side. Yes, it certainly does look that way. Right now there's several cool kids over that way. Trauma Jock's in the house. He says he's had some issue with Pro Mag and his P320. I've had issues with Pro Mag across the board pretty much on any magazine made for anything I've ever jacked with that was Pro Mag. Yeah, I'm definitely not a big Pro Mag fan. So, draw 12 gauge out there joining us. What's up, buddy? Oh, it's cool. I'm not real sure what. Oh, okay. That guy's wife and Mohawk boy out there is going back and forth, I guess. I thought she was asking what my mailing address was, and I'm like, what? What? So, yeah. Anyhow, as far as the weekend on my end, not really anything direly productive, right? I did get the rear before the rain set in today, which has been that depressing kind of rain after it set in, which sucks because it doesn't just come down and then it's gone. It wants to rain for hours and hours and hours. Did get the rear brakes on my truck. That's awesome. There's several things I've got to get done before we make the trek in that old girl to Tulsa. Brakes being one. Got to get the oil change done. I'm hoping maybe I can get it done tomorrow. Maybe I can find time because I want to use the Modern Spartan Systems, the engine treatment or whatever stuff that they sent. They sent me two bottles of that. I was reading on the instructions, and you only use 2 ounces per quart of oil that's in your truck. So I thought, well, it's like a 16-ounce bottle. So I'm like, well, that's kind of cool. That's, you know, I won't have to use an entire bottle, so I can eventually give one of those away, hopefully. But I would like to try that stuff out. So that's going to be coming. I'm going to get that in there. Probably just a little short video. I don't know. Maybe just release that to patrons only for all I know. Who knows? Maybe be kind of a behind the scenes thing, right? But yeah, I got to get that done and a few other things, and then we'll be ready to go on that end. 817 in the house out there. He says, your thoughts on 25 ACP solely for self-defense. If you don't like carrying a Glock block or even a 12 gauge at home, I don't like the 25 ACP. 25 ACP is an extremely anemic round, quite possibly the most anemic round or caliber, I should say, out of all of them. That said, I'm not about to stand and run on one. But I, yeah, I'm just not a fan. Never have been. Never have owned one. Never had to have the. Let me back up. Say I never have owned one. Me saying that I don't own one really doesn't mean anything. It just means I hadn't run across a good enough deal on something, because I would certainly buy a 25 ACP if the price was right, depending on what it was. But yeah, for self-defense, you know, I mean, honestly, you know, 22 Magnum, or bump up to, you know, go ahead and go up to like a 32, I would say. That'd be my opinion on that. Mr. Buck Stanley, coming in out there. User says recommendations for inside waistband holster for his 92S. Wow. Opinion on alien gear. Okay. As far as recommendations on the 92S, somebody else will have to field that for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think it's absolutely insane to try to carry the 92 variant inside the waistband. That thing's huge. It's huge. Okay. Second thing with that is I don't carry inside waistband unless I just absolutely have to. I do not like it. So unfortunately I'm not familiar with a lot of different holsters. That being said, let's get to the second part, your second question, their opinions on alien gear. Alien gear is solid. I've got an alien gear OWB. I think it's the hybrid maybe or something, OWB. Can't recall now. That is everyday carry for my Taurus Protector Poly. And it's a sweet holster. It's held up. Yeah, I like it. Very comfortable. Carries well. Distributes there's not a whole lot of weight on that. I mean, 5 rounds of 38 special in a poly frame revolver, right? So there's not a lot of weight there. But it does distribute the weight well. It doesn't tug on the belt line like some heavier stuff does. So yeah, I think alien gear is definitely one you should look into for sure. Kingpin out there says, what do I think of 22 mag rifles? You know, up until the other day, I was in Walmart, and 22 mag at the height of not being able to get 22 long rifle ammunition drought of whatever it was, right? 2013, 2014, 2015, whatever. 22 mag was even harder to come by, and that stuff was expensive. And I think I've seen it for like $12 a box. I was like, wow, that's not bad. It was the cheapest I had seen it, I think, before then. And granted, I don't go around looking for it, but the cheapest I had seen it before then was like $18 a box. So it's really come down. 22 mag, I don't have a problem with 22 mag. 22 mag is great. It's a great varmint round for sure. And like I said, you're talking specifically rifles there, of course, but in pistols, can be, depending on the ammunition, can be a viable self-defense round, honestly. Another point I was going to make. Oh, talking about the rifles, the auto loaders, right? Your semi-auto 22 mag. There's not just a whole lot of them out there. So I would be a little leery of those. That's sort of a new concept with 22 mag and also 17 HMR, where, you know, there's very few companies that have had any kind of success with a semi-auto with that caliber. So be a little leery. Ruger made one, 10/22 back in the day. Savage has made one. Remington, I think, tried one. It failed miserably. yeah. Go bold. And that's kind of the point with a 22 mag too. Gonna get a lot more accuracy out of a bolt anyway. For what you're getting, you can almost do the same thing with the 22 long. If you take into consideration the loss of accuracy for, you know, going semi-auto. Double T out there says from Pro Mags, he said to deburr the inside of the mag bodies for them to function. Yeah, that's entirely possible. And I don't know what he's talking about there per se. Because like I said, I just, never been a fan of them at all, but when they mold some of these, you know, poly mags, plastic mags, when they mold, they have like a little lip on the inside. That's why I don't like Magpul. I shoot a lot of alternative calibers, and you know, you grab a Magpul magazine, and those calibers are supposed to feed and work in the 5.56 mag, but because they've got that little ridge, that little lip in the front, they don't work so well. So, it's just the construction, is the way they're designed. So yeah, I can totally see that being a problem for sure. Drama Jock says he'll never buy another pro mag. Yeah, I mean, I'm probably not, unless it's a firearm that's just all I can find, and then maybe it's a really sweet deal, and I'm like, okay, I'll take a chance on it, right? But I'm not certainly not going to expect anything out of it. That's for sure. Georgia Trucker in the house out there. He says he made it, but he's heading out. So headphones, it is. Yes, sir. We understand. That's all good. Thanks for chiming in. Thanks for jumping in and sitting in. Appreciate it. Dogbody out on the Gun Channel side. This is what I think of the 22 TCM. The 22 TCM is freaking awesome. I don't know if you mean like a pistol or in a rifle, but or in a carbine, but either way, I mean having like a 22 TCM in a 1911 and then a little carbine rifle, yeah, that'd be totally sweet. I mean a 9mm, you know, neck down basically to a 22, that's what it is, right? That's pretty cool. And with your handguns, I mean it's a barrel swap basically, and then you go to a 9mm, so even better. 22 TCM. I don't know, a little bit better. Is it better than the 5.7? Trying to think, because I've shot both, and I think I do like the 22 TCM more than the 5.7. But really similar, I guess, performance wise, vastly different as far as the look of the cartridge for sure. But end result, you know, pretty similar. Guitar Man Pete out there says, accuracy wise, how much distance can an AR pistol with a 10.5 inch barrel be good to? Okay, here's the thing with barrels and distance. It's not as important as people seem to want to think. A lot of your long range shooters for many years have been backing off on their barrel lengths. And still doing just as good. There's been world records and stuff broken with shorter barrels. So, yeah. I can tell you that out of a 7.5 inch barrel, I can ring 6 inch steel all day, every day at 200 yards with a 300 blackout. I can do that with a 5.56 as well. And we're talking out of a 7.5 inch, maybe an 8 inch barrel, right? You get some increased velocity, and that means it's gonna get there a little quicker before it, you know, you're not gonna get maximum, it's got a little more oomph, right? A little more. But you're talking like maybe 50 feet a second, maybe 50, in between 30 and 50 best estimates, per like inch of barrel, right? So 10.5 inch, you got to figure, you know, 16 inch, let's say 5 inches, right? Then that's what, 150 feet a second difference. I don't know if you've loaded and chronoed and played with stuff, but you know, not a lot of difference. And it really, that speed has nothing to do with accuracy. Okay. So has to do with being able to get the pressure, to get the twist right, you know, and how fast it achieves that spin. Getting a sustained spin, I guess, on it doesn't necessarily make a difference, right? think about it, throwing a football. I mean, you snap your wrist and you've got that tight spiral, right? Just by a quick little wrist snap. There's not even a barrel there or anything. So, yeah, not necessarily required. What else with that? There was something else I was going to mention with that. One of the most important things, I guess, is efficiency, powder burn. I mean, if you got a shorter barrel, you want to make sure that, you know, your powder is being burnt. You got, you know, you want to optimize your whatever load you're using for that. And 10.5 inch is right there at for both 5.56 and Blackout and even 458 SOCOM. And I'm thinking about several other cartridges. It's right there around in that range. 9 to 10 inches on Blackout, roughly about 11 inches or so, 11 and a half on 5.56. Is that optimal range as far as burn rate on most ammunitions that's out there. So, on the accuracy note, you're talking about increased velocities. That's really what you're getting with a longer barrel. And, what am I thinking? Oh, when you're dealing with match grade ammo, especially if you're talking rimfire, that stuff's subsonic. So, you know, you're talking about shooting subsonic ammo and silhouette matches out to 110 meters with a little 22 long rifle. So, yeah, not that big of a deal, I guess. Kingpin, that was a long walk for a short drink of water. I guarantee you. Now we've got, what have we got? David Bolin out there. We got Kingpin. He says he prefers metal mags for his AR. Plastic was giving him issues. I like the Lancers magazines. I really do, especially for alternative calibers. It just has to do with the construction and the design of the mag. Like I said, it does not have that little ridge in the front, so I really like that. And then metal feed lips and all that good stuff. So there are some out there that are okay. I'm not real fond of the look of the, and I think a lot of people are, of the metal mags, even if you use the Cerakote or do something like that, right? Trauma Doc says he's got a discount card from SIG he needs to use before the end of the year. Sweet. I don't know. I'm not a big SIG guy, so I don't know to tell you what to get. Maybe look into a Romeo of some sort, or if you could apply it to ammo, the SIG ammo is good stuff. A double TC says he's done with PMAG 2. Guitar man Pete out there, he said his pro mags have been okay, but he's had limited experience. Seven Wonders is in the house out there. What is up, Seven? Caliber says he has about 30 ACP rounds. They look like they've all set and all been trying to find a safe way to get rid of them. We're found in an old box of his grandfather's. Honestly, you know, you talk about the oil, soak them in a, you could pull them down. You know, pair of pliers on the projectile, pair of pliers on the brass, and just twist, probably, break them down and, You could do it that way. Break them down, throw them in a scrap metal, little scrap metal bucket or something like that. You could. Heck, you could melt the projectiles down if you do any casting that way. But yeah, deconstruct them would be one way to do it. I would venture a guess. I mean, I would think of surely somebody, and we're talking about, you know, Calaveras is out in Cali, but I would think that somebody in a gun shop or something like that out that way would take them in and do something with them, I would think. Guitar man Pete says, according to the reloading manual, start a fire, throw them in, stand a minimum of 25 feet away. Outside of a barrel or chamber is not dangerous. Yeah, it's not. That's the cool thing with that. The got to realize the lead or the projectile in most cases and most cartridges and most applications is much, much heavier than the brass, right? In most cases. So, or not much heavier, but it is. And then the brass also, it's like, I'm trying to think. I can remember there being like a little toy that's like a pop toy type thing, right? And it sits down over a thing and it's got a pump and it blows it off, right? But think about if you shook up like a soda bottle, right? And then opened the cap. You kind of have a similar effect. So usually what's going to happen is the brass is what's going to fly out and hit you. If you ever did that with, if you ever taken like 22s, because it's happened many, many times on many, many camping trip, I'm sure. And those get tossed into a fire. It's the brass that pops out typically that hits you. And it hits you literally with a velocity like, that's hot, don't get me wrong, and that sucks, but it hits you with the force that, you know, if somebody was to throw it at you or something, at the very worst, it's not bad. Of course, if it gets you, you know, here's the thing. First of all, it's hot. Second of all, if it gets in your eye or something like that. But if you had a barrel, right, if you had like a burn barrel or you did it in a bucket or something like that, that would definitely mitigate any risk. But yeah, you could deconstruct it pretty easy, I think. Let's jump over to gun channels. I know I'm getting way behind on the YouTube side, but that's okay. Hopefully we'll get caught up. DT Piper over there says the overall performance levels of the 22 TCM is said to exceed that of the 5.7 developed for blah blah blah. He must have copied Wiki. Yeah, I think it does. I think it does. You know, I think it does exceed it at least a little bit, but, you know, I didn't do head-to-head extensive testing, okay? This is just, and I own a firearm in neither round or neither caliber, right? So, yeah, and I've never done any head-to-head testing. I've shot both, and the 22 TCM does seem to be the better of the two. But it's a real similar experience. Unknown user out there says, how you carry Beretta 92? You stopped trying to pull, stop trying to carry full size years ago. He stopped trying to carry full size years ago, but want to give it another try. He'll carry about 3 o'clock. I don't carry a Beretta 92, so I'm not real sure of the question there. If I was going to carry a 92, it would be open carry outside the waistband. I can tell you that for a fact. But I'm not gonna carry any of my Berettas. Now, I've open carried a couple of the Taurus 92s before, and I've just got a bikini holster for those that I use. You know, just basically the little leather strappity thing, kind of like the, oh, heck, you see it a lot of times, TV shows and stuff like that, where, especially back in the 80s, when the 92s and stuff were popular, they'd have this little strip of leather, basically, with like, they put their badge on it or something. Yeah, that's what I carry, and like I said, open carry. But yeah, I don't do the full size. I've Glock 42 for me, or that Taurus Protector Poly. There's just no reason to go to get any crazier with it, in my opinion. So you can, if it makes you feel good, if it makes you carry, then by all means, get out there and do it. Good Lord, I'm scrolling up through here. I'm way bad behind. So let's try to get caught up here. let's see, Tactical Pickle out there. Yeah, he's talking about his 25 AC pieces. He doesn't own anything chambered in it. Really not worth buying one. Yeah, unless you get a kick butt deal on something, just happen across it. 817 says, just take them to a range. Yeah, let a range officer deal with them. That's true. You could just leave them laying somewhere on the range. Just randomly throw them on the ground. Pretend that you dropped them on the ground and left them there, I guess. 7 Wonder said he'd just bury him deep on his own property. You could do that too. There's ways to handle it safely. like I think Guitar Man Pete or something up there said a few minutes ago, as long as it's not chambered and you are halfway safe with it, you'll be okay. User says 25 is just a novelty round at most, last resort. Yeah. Backup gun or something, you know, when your backup and all has been depleted. I don't know, it'd be a last resort. It would be definitely would be used for very, very close range, I would think. And I'm talking about, you know, you're on the ground rolling around close range, not even like a matter of feet, but, you know, literally like on top of each other. Something like that, you know, maybe. Outside of that, I don't know. There's just way better options, especially when you look at the, you know, you talk about the caliber, and that's fine, because people ask that a lot. They're like, is 25 ACP a viable caliber? Look at the firearms that are available in that chambering, you know, and look at the limited options you have with the firearms available. So, you know, there's not just a whole lot out there, even in 32 ACP, right? So, you know, when you see most people carry it at minimum like a 380, there's a reason. That's because there's a ton of stuff that's made and it's chambered in 380. So people have options. So why would you want to be potentially gimped on a caliber, on the caliber of the cartridge, and then gimped on what you can carry and stuff like that? Again, unless you have something like the little Beretta or something like that that you've already got and you've had and you got a good deal on it, it's awesome. At that point, okay, I get it. But running out and spending money on something like that with the intention to carry it, I think you could put your money, you could better spend your money, put it that way. Kingpin says he's not a big fan of compact pistols. Calaveras out there, he's, what is he saying? AR pistol. Thinks an AR-10 and 308 as a pistol might be a fun flamethrower. We'll have Allegiance Ammunition on Friday. Go check out their website. Check out their stuff. But especially with some of the subsonic ammunition that they sell. Like a pistol in an AR-10 platform with 308 and then running like their 230 grain subs would be kind of cool for something like home defense or something like that. Definitely. Seven Wonder says, well, not all little guns. It's 30 plus year old J22 literally blew the slide off when he tried to fire CCI quiets through it. Okay. That's interesting. That's, not necessarily surprising, unfortunately. Kingpin, he says 338 and a 4.5-inch barrel. Now we're talking. There you go. Heat Shield in the house with us. Tripod Tactical, Ghost Tactical out there. What's up, guys? Calaveras says, or Heat Shield. Oh, okay. He says, bring it to your local gun shop if you don't want to just twist them open and empty them out. Yeah, I would think of a local gun shop or something would probably help you out with that, most likely. Now I gotta scroll through. I'm not gonna chastise everybody like G-Webs, but I gotta scroll through everybody saying hi here. That kind of sucks. Now Trauma Jock's talking about get a cheap silicone wedding band from Walmart, and I'm not sure what they're getting at with that. But I have heard there's a company that sells like premium silicone wedding bands, and I don't wear that. Mine's silver. But, the cheap ones, I heard that they can keep moisture and stuff, and they can attract smells and all kind of weird stuff because of the way that they're designed. And there's a premium brand, and I can't think of now the name of it. There may be somebody out there that remembers it. If you do, throw it in the chat. But I've actually seen advertisements on YouTube lately here and there. But, yeah, they have Grooves. And I think that may be the name of the company. It's like Groovering or something. But they have little grooves in them supposed to let more or less let there be an airflow or something going on. And again, no experience. That's just what I hear about them. So, Mad Sexy is out in the house. General Relativity is out in the house. P&W is out there as well. What is up? Let me scroll down. Because Mad Sexy had a question, if I can get down here to it. He says, any advice on doing an AR build like AR-15 or AR-10 to be saving up for the strip lower first? Honestly, not really. It's such a personal thing. If it's your first build, tools, and tools, right? Focus on that, I think, first. Don't foul the parts and then scrimp on tools and stuff. You know, assuming you have all that at your disposal and everything, then yeah, I mean, it's kind of a personal experience. So, I mean, not really. Receivers are receivers are receivers for the most part. So, you know, keep that in mind too. You know, most people's brand recognition and or logo on the side of it, right, is why most people go the route they go with receivers, honestly. Barrels, depends on if you're going lightweight design, depends on if you going, you know, you want distance, you're trying to do more of a subsonic thing, that's going to depend on the barrels. Now, I'm not a big AR-10 fan because of weight. So, you know, I've got to throw that off to somebody like Dead Horse maybe or somebody like that, right? But I do know that with AR-15, you know, for the most part, if it's AR-15, you're good regardless. With AR-10, there's what? There's the Armalite pattern, I think, and the DPMS pattern. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, because I may be wrong. Somebody out there can correct me. Dead Horse, if you might be listening. But I think it's the Armalite pattern and the DPMS pattern. So be careful because it won't interchange. And then I've seen, even though stuff falls within those certain patterns, with the AR-10, I've seen people do builds that the upper doesn't mate the receiver right. It's all functional, don't get me wrong, but it looks like crap. It's not flush, you know, where it sits. I mean, one kind of has an overbite more or less on the other or something, and it looks weird. And I've seen that multiple times in the AR-10 build world. And I just don't see that with the 15. I mean, yeah, seems to work pretty well no matter what you get. Patriot is out there. He said, so what farm am I doing with the hashtag blind channel? I don't know, because Gizzard quirked me on it with the Glock 42, so I don't know. I may get with Gizzards. I haven't watched the Gizzards. I may get with Gizzards and see if he did the actual breakdown where he removed the extractor spring and pin and the firing, the striker assembly and all of that. If he didn't, what I may do, because I've already got a lot of that video, I may just take mine and whittle it down to where it's, you know, removal of those components, right, on the 42. So if Gizzard's out there, he can answer me. Did you do a complete breakdown on the slide, or did you just do the whatever I was saying there, just do the general field strip with the spring guide rod and guide rod spring and the barrel. That may be a cool thing to do. Yeah, Calaveras out there is, yeah, he's saying there's two different basically designs as well. Hey, Hemi is in the house. What's up, Hemi? Heat Shield says shoe guns are still legal. No, I don't think shoe guns are legal. If it can be fired while it does not look like a gun, basically, it's not legal. I think that's the thing. Calaveras, I think it was Calaveras giving me heck over my bikini holster. He says nobody wants to see that. Those trauma jocks. So, yeah. Whatever. You know what I'm talking about. Makes your guns look sexy, man, when you put them in a bikini holster. Come on. Reloader in the house. Just drops in for a little while. What's up, Reloader? Oh, Lord. They done started about the whole gumshoe thing because of the gun shoe. Lord. TD3's out there. What's up, Tardot? Einstein out there says he can only imagine the muzzle blast from an SBR 308. Not that bad. I mean, I 458 SOCOM's not that bad. So why would 308 be that bad? That has a lot to do again with, it's going to depend on what ammunition you're firing. And it's also going to depend on what break you've got on the end, or if you're running the can. If you're running the can, you really don't got to worry about it at all. So, it's pretty much going to control and capture every bit of that. Trauma Doc out there says the 25 ACP used to be very popular, 33 ACP even more so. Yeah, that's why you get the whole Bad, Bad Leroy Brown song, right? He had the 32. Of course, the 32, not real sure with that song if he was talking about 33 ACP or 32 S&W, because that's another one. When you're talking about 32, not just ACP, but you're talking about you're talking about 32 S&W, 32 S&W long, 32 S&W special, 32 Colt, 32 long Colt, or several 32s that came about late 1800, you know, early 1900s. There was quite a few. So 32 was, it was the 32 was to the, I'm going to say, the handgun world, you know, of the turn of last century. Last century, I guess it'd be century before last, wouldn't it? So I guess we're in this century. So I guess technically it would be, the turn of this last century. But yeah, the 32 caliber across the board was about like 308 now is in rifles, right? Because 308, you've got 30-06, you've got 308 Winchester, you've got, what am I thinking, 300 Blackout, 300 Savage, you've got, give me some more because there's a ton of them out there and my mind just totally went blank on it, but 300 Weatherby, 300 Win Mag, all that good stuff. So yeah, kind of the same way. That projectile was used, I guess, in a lot of cartridges back then. All right. So Tripod Tactical. I'm not sure what he's getting at out there. He said there's a couple. He got his ex-wife too. She's an ER nurse, so that helped keep them cleaner, but they must have fallen off. Not real sure what that is. Patient and Ark says, is it really true that leprechauns are scarier than blind challenge? I'm not. I have video with the Glock 42, but like I said, then freaking gizzarded me. Thermal Redneck says when he builds his ARs, he always uses the same comp. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people do that. A lot of people get something that they like and they use the same one, and there's nothing wrong with that at all. A lot of people do it because they use the Quick Connect, right? The Quick Connect brakes and stuff for their particular suppressors. All of mine are thread on, so I don't have to worry about it. Mine are threaded and I go. Oh, Thermal Redneck. What's Thermal Redneck says? He likes to use the same company for both the uppers and lowers. If you can, yeah. Yeah, I definitely would. But with the 15s, they with the 10s, I would say almost definitely, right? If you're talking AR-10. With an AR-15, you could probably get by, you know, mixing and matching, and it still look well. I've got multiple ones that are, and you would be hard-pressed to know. I mean, if I lied to you and told you, oh, no, that's a spike supper, you probably ain't going to know the difference. You know, you're probably not going to be able to prove me wrong, most likely. Mateo's in the house out there. What's up, Mateo? Yeah, they're talking about the two different patterns on the AR-10 out there. So, yeah, definitely want to be careful with that. All right, I got to get a drink. Hold on just a minute. There we go. Mateo says that there's a bit of hybrid in terms of dimensions between the AR-10 and the LR-308. So there you go. Mateo out there says a 243 pistol has a rather nice bark to it. That's an interesting one for sure. I've never seen one chambered in 243. Not personally, anyway. Wes in the house out there says, going to get a new 10 millimeter. What should I get? Well, the handgun that moved me over into liking Glock was the Glock 20. I think the Glock 20 is a phenomenal handgun for the 10 millimeter cartridge. But you know, honestly, I mean, you've got three options, and to me, they're all good. They're in my mind anyway. You've got three options. Let me back up. You've got more options than three. But if I simplify the categories, right, you've got three options. You've got the Glock 20. You've got the 1911. Also great for the 10 millimeter cartridge, okay? Capacity issues, more than anything, when you're dealing with that. You're not going to have the capacity. But you do got a little more weight, right? And you're not dealing with polymer. So, you know, if you're a guy that doesn't like polymer, then you've got the hybrid of the two, because then you get into the CZ clone variants, right? You get into the, like the Tang Folios, right? And stuff like that. The EAA stuff. And I've got one. In fact, we did a launch air pop, patron launch air pop, I think, with it here a few months ago. So there may be a video on that where you can kind of check that out. But those, it depends on the model. You can get those that are poly-framed or, you know, metal-framed or whatever. And they handle them well, too. So that's really the three options. So you got to decide, do you like the CZ look? Okay. Do you like the 1911 look? Or do you like the Glock look? Then you got to say, okay, do I like polymer? Do I like a little bit of polymer, or do I like no polymer at all? And I think once you use that criteria and narrow it down, you know, at the end of the day, if you could find a 20, I don't know for how much longer, you know, you're going to be able to find any of the Glock 20s out there. So from a standpoint of course, there's a billion of them on the planet probably by now because it's a Glock. But from a standpoint of it having, keeping, retaining any type of real value, you know, the Glock 20 may be the most, if you're looking, holding value long term. And I know it's weird to say that the Glock is going to hold any kind of value, right? But I think it may be. But I don't know. I mean, if I was going to rank them in order, as far as those three particular categories, just because of what I've got, I'm not a fan of a 1911. and it has nothing to do. Much respect for the 1911, and it's a beautiful platform. Just not a fan. So it ranks on the bottom. So I'm going to go with the Glock, and then the, I'm going to say CZ variant, because there's several different ones out there, and then the 1911. Patriot out there, he says the 32 kills enough Europeans. Yes, they do have thin skin, but no, the 32 ACP is pretty cool. Yeah, that's a 32 ACP is 7.65 Browning, if I'm not mistaken, right? Isn't that the 32 ACP? And I got off on a 10 millimeter rant there, but that's okay. And have gotten behind in the chat, but we'll get it. We'll get it done. Mad Sexy says 45 ACP for life. There you go. DT Piper says he hopes S&W and Ruger a kick in the rear. Okay, that's weird. Yeah, DT Piper out there is saying they just dropped an XDM in 10 millimeter. I'm a little leery of that. And I'm not a big Springfield fan. I mean, I do like my XD9, but it, I don't know on that. I mean, if they've redesigned some stuff, and I haven't really looked at it, but if they've redesigned some stuff, maybe, but. I know a lot of people that's had problems out of that. They really don't like that XD series all the way around. And then to put something like the 10 millimeter in it, I don't know. Makes me wonder. Kimmy out there says this will be his last chat for a while. Starts a new job tomorrow. It's okay, Hemi. Life happens, unfortunately, and there's always replays and comments, and everybody should have the email live@clovertech.com. It's easy, right? So should be pretty easy to stay in touch if you need to. But that's okay. That's pretty cool. Congrats on the new job, I guess. Hopefully that's a good thing for you. Let's see. Wes out there says he has two Glocks in a Rock Island. Well, you got two Glocks in a Rock Island. Oh, and he's got an EAA. Okay. Well, if you've got all of those in 10 millimeter, then what do you want another one for? You got all the bases covered. You can go with an older Smith & Wesson. That's an option. Go with a High Point carbine, I guess. That's an option. All right, let's see. Yeah, I just jumped, I think, to the bottom of the stupid chat. Mad Sexy says, Clovertech, you don't like my 1911? No, I do not prefer a 1911, and I've said that before multiple times. That's not shocking. Everybody's got their own thing. And yeah, 1911, I don't particularly care for the rear, like the beaver tail area on the grip and all, and the thickness and stuff. It's weird. Mateo out there says basically the CZ clone with some differences. He's talking about the EAA. He says the internals, great guns though. Yeah, I hadn't had any problems with the EAA line that I've got. And there's quite a few CZ clones out there too. It's not just, the Tang Folio, the EAA is not just the only one. But, they're worldwide. A lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people look at Tang Folio, which are EAA, and then they scoff a little bit. But if you listen to the Wednesday shows, both of those kids mentioned in the competition circles Tang Folio. both of them did. I think both of them shoot CVs, they said, but they mentioned Tankfolio. So, some things are just not as popular. We're blessed here in the United States to have Smith & Wesson and Ruger and Springfield and whoever. I mean, I guess you could even say Kel-Tec and High Point and whatever, right? But, yeah, we're blessed to have all of these firearms manufacturers here and all over the place, and we enjoy the freedoms we do. So, we've got way more options. So when you look at, that's like Taurus. I mean, look at the worldwide market for Taurus. It's insane, and they don't even have they've got a small portion of the market here in the United States, but worldwide, they're one of the leaders. If you branch out to worldwide. Clay says the main page needs moderating. ASAP. Wonder what happened. Looks like Dead Horse and Clay are in the house over there. Yeah, it just got a little heated and not non-PC on the gun channel side. So. All right, so get down to the bottom. I jumped to the bottom, so I'm going to make sure that I did not miss anybody or anything. If I did, let me know. Mel out there, Mel the Nut, says he would love a CZ, but which one to choose? Yeah, well, I mean, that CZ-75, P-01. There's several. Seven Wonders, he says, could be worse. Yankee calls him Stevie Wonders most of the time. There you go. That's okay. Kingpin talking to Mel out there. He says the Shadow. Yep, the Shadows, the Shadow 2. Also a good one. Yeah, if you're going to go CZ, there's a lot you can choose from, I think, which is pretty awesome. Yeah, the P, Hemi says the P07. Did I say P01? Maybe I meant the P07. User says, if the 25 ACP was given a nickname, would it be Clover or Ghost? It would have to be Ghost because, it would be almost like a round that doesn't really exist, right? So it's got so little power, it's almost like a phantom, right? It'll pass through your body and you would never know it. Kind of like an apparition passes through your body, right? So it'd be like a ghost, I guess. Kingpin out there, he says he wants two of everything. Anybody trying to loan him some money? So there you go. Mateo says, did I see that the rear rail on the XDM 10 millimeter is polymer? No, I haven't. Other than the release, I haven't looked into the XD in 10 millimeter. I don't have an inherent problem with Springfield. I mean, whatever. I'm not going to buy one, right? But I wasn't planning on buying one anyway. So I think most everybody knows where I come down on the whole calling for a boycott type thing. I'll tell you my take, but outside of that, you do you, man. Because, everybody can make arguments and justify either way, all kinds of positions. So, yeah, I'm not going to come down on somebody because they want to buy Springfield. I mean, come on. I would certainly, there is a Springfield that I would buy. And that's it's an M1A1. But that's, you know, that's likely going to be used anyway. So who cares, right? I'd much rather have an older model. Kingpin says, would I ever do any big game hunting in Africa or other places, not the U.S.? I would love to do some big game hunting. The problem is going to be caliber. Good Lord. Can you imagine? Especially like an elephant. Can you imagine? I mean, there's no doubt I could get a kill shot, but good gravy. You know, even if you land a kill shot on an elephant, I mean, that sucker's going to charge for 50 yards or something. You know, the bigger the game, the harder it is, even if you get a vital shot, you know, the harder it is for them to just drop and fall over. You know, now that said, a lot of them, you've got, I've heard stories of some big game hunts where the guides would actually, the whoever paid for the hunt would go, they would fire, and then it would be a report fire, right? They would fire, and as soon as they would fire, the two guides or something would fire as well. So they're actually hitting that animal with actually three different rounds or four different rounds or whatever, almost at the same time. But homeboy, you know, shot it first, so technically he gets credit, right? Not the guides. And then, too, a lot of those preserves and stuff that you go on those big hunts and hunt on, those animals are sick. And a lot of times they're old and they're sick and they're weak anyway. So, you know, it doesn't take a lot. But, I mean, they could definitely get up a head of steam and pick them off because you've shot them and charge you. It would not be a cool day, man. 7 Wonder says, personally, doesn't have what it takes to shoot an elephant. I get it with some people. I mean, I get that. But you're talking game management. So, you know, your mind is not in a place where you're thinking about game management, okay? If you've got an elephant that is, it's old, it's got dementia, it's past breeding age, whatever the case may be, and it's killing younger viable males, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you not going to take it, you know, and risk extinction of a species because, you know, you don't have the gumption to go shoot an elephant? So, and that's what sense I'm talking about with hunting. I'm not talking about poaching. I'm not talking about people that go to countries that may have very lax rules on that crap or whatever. I'm talking about people that do it the right way. I don't have a problem with it at all. And the right way is if it's, you know, any type of an endangered animal, you know, then, or really if it's ever been an endangered animal, obviously it's still kind of on the brink, right? It still could go either way. So, yeah, anything that's kind of in that endangered to gray area. Yeah, I mean, we have to practice management, and what best, you know, the best way to do that is to auction off or whatever these trophy hunts. You know, but you've got to have people on the ground there that can identify and go, well, you know, this particular animal is sick. You know, he's got some kind of disease, and we got to take him and get him out of the herd. Or, you know, it may not even be disease. I mean, they tranquilize and test and do all kinds of things on these preserves anyway. So, they know there's genetic anomalies and things like that, right? So, you know, they may take a female or take a male of whatever we're talking about just simply because they've got some type of a gene thing that they could pass on. And in a couple of generations, you've got some really, you know, some really bad, I don't want to say livestock, right? But whatever, really bad animals as far as, you know, genetics is concerned, right? Maybe they don't live as long. Maybe they're more prone to being sick, things like that. So, yeah, game management is a huge thing. Phew. he wept out there. He says he needs to refresh. It was saying 2 hours. And it's live. Yes, it is. Pete says, is he in trouble for Springfield? Nah, not on the YouTube side. I mean, on the Gun Channel side. The Gun Channel side doesn't really get the moderation. The YouTube's what I'm worried about. So, you know, when you're typing in the chat, remember that. I mean, I don't know if you drop F-bombs and run your grandbabies and stuff like that, whatever. But think about that when you're typing in my chats. That's all I ask. Think about, you know, if your kids or if you were standing up in front of your kids' classroom or something like that. You know, there's ways to get the point across without dropping language. But on the Gun Channel side, like I said, I don't worry about it. Don't worry about it too much. So you good, Pete? You're all good? User out there says, did you see where the one politician is catching heck for killing an entire family of baboons, including 2 babies? I think there are limits. I haven't seen that. I would have to look and see the stipulations and what's going on around that. That sounds like an issue to where, yeah, that's not what I'm talking about. That's acceptable. You know, yeah. And then we get into the whole, yeah, I think Kingpin or something. Who was that made the argument? Was that Kingpin? Yeah, he said trophies are food. I think it doesn't matter. With trophy or food, I don't know that it matters if you're talking about preservation of a species. At that point, I don't know that matters. It really doesn't. You know, if you got to get rid of them, you've got to get rid of them, right? If you got to thin the herds, you've got to thin the herds. You know, I think that it sucks that you've got people that'll just go arbitrarily shoot things and leave them laying. But Cycle Camp out there, who's jumped in, he says he'd much rather shoot a nuisance animal like javelina and stuff down south if they had that in Africa, like the hyenas and the wildebeest and stuff like that. Yeah. Nuisance animal, sure. Yeah, you know, you've got grand animals, right? Like lions and even zebra and elephants and stuff like that, and giraffe, which are, you know, like these regal that you think about. So, yeah, some of the more lower tier, I guess, scavenger, nasty, maybe spread disease animals. Yeah, I get you. There's not really that stigma when you take something like that. It's like hogs, you know, feral pigs around here. Nobody cares what you do. You shoot them with a machine gun out of the chopper. Nobody cares. But, you know, if you trophy hunt a deer, people throw a fit, you know, and it's like, okay, you can't have it both ways. So, make your mind here. But like I said, long as preservation of the species is not being threatened, then I don't necessarily have a problem, because that's where our regulations and stuff, at least in this country, came from, was to be able to make sure that you could hunt for years and years and years and years to come, i.e. to be able to hunt, feed your family, whatever, for years and years and years to come. And not only that, but economy, as far as being able to grow your crops and stuff like that. Because if you was this tree hugger that never shot a single animal, and you was, let's say, a vegetarian, right? Oh, I'm a vegetarian, and I'm not going to shoot no poor little defenseless animals. And then you go out and you try to grow a garden, and then what's going to happen? The rabbits are going to eat everything. The deers are going to eat everything. You're going to put up shiny pie plates and put radios out and everything else, and eventually they're going to get used to it. And what are they going to do? They're going to continue to eat your crops, you know. And you could trap them and snare them and catch them and take them somewhere else or whatever, but it's a constant battle you're going to have. So, you know, you're going to have to, and they're coming because a lot of times because of the food source, and that particular area is overpopulated. So if that's the case, I mean, you need to thin them out. It's that simple. Seven Wonders says, opinion on coyotes. Coyotes are the funnest in my mind to hunt. I don't even call it hunting. Honestly, it's killing. But, but yeah, I really like coyotes. Coyotes are thick here. They're a nuisance to the deer population. They're a nuisance to the cattle population. Yeah, and they're just I don't know. But yeah, it's pretty fun. Get some suppression going on and some thermal, and yeah, go take out some coyotes. Let me do a couple things here. We've got to announce the winner, actually, because we're actually running late. Good Lord. I got to rambling, and y'all just let me ramble? This is horrible. So let me try to hurry up and get the heck out of here. I'm going to drop the link for CloverTac.com, first of all. Going to mention that code TULSA for 10% off is still good. So if you want to go over and do some shopping, like I said at the first of the show here, still got a few things I got to get done to the old pickup to get her to Tulsa. So yeah, anything you do over there certainly will help. And then as far as the winner for the T-shirt beanie, and I will got his email, so I don't got to worry about it. But the winner is Travis P11. Mr. Tabletop Review himself is the winner of that. So I'll get with Travis, make sure he gets to pick his shirt and what color beanie he wants, and we'll get that out to you. There wasn't too many that played. That was just on Instagram. So at CloverTac over on Instagram, if you want to check out anything that's going on over there. And occasionally, like I said, we do little giveaways and other things there to promote stuff. So definitely make it worth your while. That is it. I think we're going to get out of here, except to say what have we got? We do have a youth shooter on deck, Sergio. Sergio Padilla, I believe, is the young man's name. Yeah, maybe getting it wrong, but hopefully not. That will be on Wednesday. We'll be talking to him. Friday, we've got, as I mentioned earlier, we've got Allegiance Ammunition in the house. So do a little homework on that, and be sure to get some questions for them. That should be a good show as well. Tonight at 11 Eastern time, for those that are patrons, is the patron chat. So make sure you get over there and check that out. We've got several things from the website to the newsletter and some other things I want to run by all the patrons. We've talked about it before. They're kind of like my board of directors in a way. So, yeah, if you're a patron, hopefully I'll see you over there at 11 Eastern. Armor and Axis coming in last minute, dumping $2 down on the super chat. So sorry he's late. Now it's over. Sad face. Yeah, it's okay. Gunpowder Beauty coming in late too, but that's okay. It's always replay if you want to catch up. There's always other shows during the week too. Cycle Camp says, maybe see you in Tulsa. I hope so. That's going to be right now. Tentatively, we're going to have that on the show for Thursday night. Because if anybody does have hard plans of going and wants media passes, then we need to get that nailed down. We need to quit lollygagging. We're less than a month away. We got to get it done, right? So that is it. We are out of here, and we will see you Wednesday, if not before. Bye.